Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the Institute of Biblical Learning. We thank you, Lord, for the Parsons Christian Prayer and Worship Center, where the broken are made whole by God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to know more of your word, to let your Holy Spirit reveal himself to us. We thank you, Lord, that your word is an everlasting word. We praise your name tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's in this class, every family represented, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for meeting the needs of everyone in abundance and then giving them super abundantly above. We thank you, Lord, for the class on this evening, the classes on this evening, oh God. Hallelujah, glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you will unfold to us even on this evening. Have your way. Hallelujah. We surrender to your Holy Spirit. Just lead and guide. And Father God, we thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. Say the Lord God rebuke you and your satanic cohorts. You are under our feet. We say, get thee behind us, Satan. We curse you from the root and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even a 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And again, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We bless your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Yes. We have two people on the call today. Praise the Lord. At least it sounds like it. But praise the Lord. Let the class say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I heard a couple of more. Praise God. I know that some of us, it's been a long day. But God bless you. We pray God strengthen you, encourage you, and build you up right now in Jesus' name. Pastor Peters, if you would give us the roll call right now in Jesus' name.
Yes. Hallelujah. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Acknowledge your name when you hear it called. Hallelujah. Anjanette Harris. Annette James. Yes. Adrian Scott. Judy Stevenson.
You're not coming
in the house.
The phone up here, honey.
Here. And Harry Warsaw.
Yeah.
Praise God. I can only hear you from downstairs. I can't hear you coming through the phone.
Yeah.
Do you have the house?
Yeah.
Okay. You can.
Oh no, you don't
need
the house phone. You just have to turn up your phone a little bit. Okay, I heard you then. You did something.
Alrighty.
Okay, I hear you clearly now. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have some good news and some great news for you. Those that weren't on the call last week, your papers, a term project, or term papers, is not due until the 20th of December. So in essence, from the day you got 4 weeks to finish up your work.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the finals exam is ready. And so you can pick them up anytime between now and whenever you're going to pick it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they are ready for you. And it's user-friendly. Although I will share with you, there will be some things that were not discussed in the class, but you should have read this yourself. You should have gone over some things. And in the final, you will see some references to other chapters, chapter 1 or chapter 2. But it's going to be easy for you to locate because there's specific things. They are sections in those two chapters where it enunciates the answer to the questions. You shouldn't have a problem in finding that. Of course, if there's any difficulty, I have office hours between 2 and 4, Monday through Friday, 410-444-5152. All right. Now, all minds are clear on that.
Yes.
All right.
This is the QB question is, when is the final due?
It's due also on the 20th. It's due on the 20th. It's supposed to have been given to you last week. I'm a week behind. So the makeup for all of that is not due until the 20th of December. You still have 4 weeks to do the final. To get the final.
Pastor Bird, I excuse you. Pastor Bird, I excuse your dust.
Excuse my dust. You know what? I should have started working on the final at the first week of the class, because I want to tell you, it was not it wasn't like falling off a log. Okay, I'll put it that way. So thank you, Jesus. But one other good thing, there are no essay questions. Well, nobody,
praise the Lord.
Oh, maybe I need to put some essay questions in there, right?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Because it didn't sound like this guy was
marking the point.
No essay questions.
No multiple choice?
Multiple choice, fill in the blanks, true and false, and complete the sentence. That's all. No essay questions.
Praise the Lord.
The total perfect score on this final is 300 points. Because you have three parts. There's one part for each class you have. And then each part has sections. Each part has four sections in it. So you're going to do fine. Y'all going to do fine. Hallelujah. All right. Now, I want to play something for you just to kind of give you a little nuggets about spiritual maturity. Before I do that, any more questions? Turn papers, turn projects.
We come and pick it up at your house, right? So it's
yeah,
on the porch,
so
or we have
up Sunday or whatever.
You can pick it up Sunday.
Yeah, you can pick it up as soon as that Sunday. They're ready now. Is that right, Pastor Peters?
Yes.
They're ready now. So whenever you want to pick it up, it's fine.
Thank you.
All right. Any more questions?
So what is it on?
What? Beg your pardon?
What is the final? What is on the final?
The final. A spiritual maturity, knowing your Bible, and vocabulary development. Those are the three classes. So that's what the final is on. And it's going to be easier for you. Some of the questions are so easy, I'm almost embarrassed to have put them down there.
Brother Bird. Dr. Bird. So,
yes.
Well, spiritual maturity up to the chapters that we have read or the whole book?
It's going to be mostly on the chapter we read, but there will be one or two questions on chapter one and chapter two.
Okay, got you.
But I will indicate where it's found. You'll see a parenthesis that says see chapter one or see chapter two. And it's not
yes,
a
sir.
Lot. Of those, yeah, I think it's only one or two of those, or three. But anyway, I suggest you do that. You check it out anyway. And you'll see that you had some collateral reading. I think there's one question that comes from the collateral reading. So you'll see that on there, and it'll be easy for you. And again, I do encourage our students to get together or talk with one another so that they, you can help one another, in other words. And make sure that you're helping, you're giving them the right answer and not the wrong answer. Because that's not helping if you give them the wrong answer, you know. All right. Any more questions before I go, before I start this? I'm going to play a tape. All right. Here we go.
Happy New Year. Good to see you. We've got a lot of people joining us via live stream right now from across California, Texas, Hawaii, New York, Utah, Washington, Arizona, Arkansas, Oregon, Nevada, Florida, Oklahoma, Georgia, Missouri, New Jersey, Vermont, Ohio, District of Columbia, Delaware, Minnesota, Virginia, Tennessee, Indiana, Iowa, Illinois, Germany, Argentina, Austria, Switzerland, France, India, the United Kingdom, New Zealand, Canada, the Netherlands, Venezuela, Mexico, Malaysia, Sweden, Thailand, Belgium, Norway, Ghana, and Ireland. I'm surprised that anybody's watching right now from Ireland. Rory's just three shots off the lead. Hey, I guess you can find out later on. This is more important. Good to have you with us today. Really is. I want to talk to you about growing into maturity. Did you know that the ultimate goal for the believer is not just heaven? The ultimate goal for the believer is maturity, spiritual maturity. When I embrace Jesus as my Lord and Savior, heaven is my destination. But there's a process of maturation that God wants to bring me and wants to bring you on. It's the thing that God is trying to work in each and every one of us. And you know, from a natural standpoint, if a child is not growing and developing, not growing physically, not growing emotionally, not growing socially or intellectually, it is cause for great concern. And the parents or the guardians of that child will investigate and do all they can to see if they can remedy the problem. Likewise, when a child of God, when a member of his family is not growing and progressing, it is a cause for great concern, and we just want to do all we can to help. And what we're going to do today is look at some attributes of the spiritually immature. We're going to contrast those with the qualities of mature believers, and then we want to end by looking quickly at four things that are essential for our growth in God. You ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we give you our undivided attention right now. We choose to focus on your word and lean out to hear what the Holy Spirit might say to us. Change us today, Lord. Do your work in us, and may the name of Jesus be glorified. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Here, just in verse 3 alone, he shares four attributes of the spiritually immature. And you might want to mark the words down. He says envy, strife, divisions, and carnal. Going to take a look at those. First, there's envy. Wanting what someone else has, not being happy at someone else's exaltation, someone else's position or their possessions. You know, little children tend to be very envious. Seems to be natural with kids. Like, well, it's not fair. I want his toy. His piece of cake is bigger than my piece of cake. That's not fair. Hey, she got to stay up late. That's not fair. Why can't I stay up late if she gets to stay up late? And, you know, we see it in our kids. But the thing is there's a lot of parallels between spiritual growth and natural growth. And envy tends to be one of the attributes of the spiritually immature as well. Well, how was he recognized and I wasn't recognized? Why did she get appointed to that position? How come she got visited? Nobody visited me. Why did he get called upon to sing? Why did they let him share? I have as much to give as anyone. Why do they get to do that? It's immaturity. We should learn to rejoice when another is moved forward. You know, many years ago, I was actually traveling overseas, and one of the local papers here in Southern California did a large article on our leadership college, you know, at the church here. And it was actually a pretty expansive article. It covered like five pages in the paper. And somebody sent it to me when I'm overseas. Said, look, you know, Pastor, they wrote this article, and it was really positive. I was super happy with it. And they actually, you know, accentuated the different instructors. I remember Pastor Kenneth, you know, had a big photograph of him and a bio, you know, talking about what he did and a little bit about his life, and one of the other instructors and their bio, and talked about this going on in the school and that going on, and this person does that and this person does that. And the very last line of the article said the senior pastor, Bayless Conley, did not attend Cottonwood Leadership College. That was the only mention I got. And I thought, well, I started it. But, you know, I mean, it cracked me up. I laughed about it. But I realized I was actually quite happy to see PK's picture up there and everybody else, and the fact that they got all that good press. And I remember thinking to myself, Bayless, you might just be growing a little bit. You're actually quite happy with this, and it didn't bother me that I wasn't mentioned other than the fact that I didn't go to the school. And, you know, we want to aspire to rejoice when others are, you know, lifted up and others are recognized, rather than being envious of what they have and, you know, what they get. The second word we read here is strife. Immature believers are easily offended. They are quick to take offense and generally very slow to forgive. The spiritually immature hold things against those that they perceive have wronged them. And they almost always try and pull others into their strife to create sides. Or as it's put here, divisions. I remember I worked with a guy years ago. He was a very gifted individual, but immature. And he was over a particular department in his church. And he got offended over something. I don't even really know what it was, but he felt he'd been slighted. Maybe, you know, some other departments in the church had access to things that he didn't, or he wasn't recognized. It was something like that. But it grew into bitterness in him. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 to pursue peace and to be diligent lest any root of bitterness spring up in you, causing trouble and defiling many. When we don't let go of things, when we hold on to things, it will grow into bitterness that causes trouble for a lot of people. And I remember I talked to him about it, because what had happened is he started using this language about us and them. He created sides. To where his whole department sort of picked up that same spirit of us and them. Them being the leadership in the church. And the other departments is them. And then there's us. We're the ones that aren't being honored and aren't being favored. And, you know, so it was us and them. And I remember talking to him, and he just couldn't see it at all. You know, just felt like they'd been wrong. And, you know, I don't have time to tell you all of the trouble that caused and the division, you know, that brought in that church, but it is, like I said, an attribute of the spiritually immature, and it can be over, you know, the most petty things. One of our guest speakers, who's actually spoken at Cottonwood for like 25, almost 30 years now, I was talking to him one day, and he travels the nation speaking, and he said, Bayless, I was just in a church that I go to every year. And the attendance was down like 30 or 40%. He says, so I asked the pastor, what happened? He said, the pastor said, we had a church split. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, what was it over? The pastor said, donuts. He said, donuts? He said, yeah, donuts. He said, we had, you know, every Tuesday night, this big volunteer meeting. You know, they had a little music and somebody bring a word and just sort of fellowship. And there was a guy that led the whole, you know, volunteer, you know, deal in the church. And we would provide donuts for him. So we'd, you know, bring whatever. It was, you know, 8 or 10 dozen donuts in for all the volunteers. He said, but every time they get done, it looked like they had a donut war in there. There was pieces of donuts all over the floor, powdered sugar down the hallways. It looked like they'd been rolling donuts down the hallway. And so we talked to him, said, look, you know, it's not fair. The maintenance people are complaining. You know, I've got a lot of extra work to do after you guys get through. You know, please, just clean up after yourselves. It's a mess. Well, next Tuesday night, another donut war. There's like pieces of donuts everywhere. The hallway's dirty again. Pastor talked to him again, said, look, you guys have got to you know, be neater and not be doing this. It's just a mess. Looks like a bunch of little kids with the donuts. Well, next week, same thing. And Pastor said, okay, that's it. No more donuts. Well, the leader of the volunteers got offended. Said, well, we're not being honored. And actually started having secret meetings and calling people together like, we're not respected. You know, the leadership of this church doesn't value us. And he got this whole following behind him over donuts. And led like 25, 30% of the people out to start another church over donuts. Now imagine standing before Jesus on Judgment Day. Standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus looks at you and says, all right, let me get this straight. You split my church over donuts? Well, Lord, I just didn't feel honored. I just didn't feel respected. Donuts. Well, yeah, they wouldn't give us any more donuts. All right, well, listen, welcome into heaven. I'm glad you trusted in me. Come on in. And you know what? I'm going to give you your eternal reward right now. Somebody get this guy a dozen donuts, okay? Strife, envy, divisions. And then the next word we find there is carnal. That means fleshly. Literally, it's a person that's ruled by their feelings instead of being ruled by the word of God or by the love of God that's been poured out in their hearts. And Paul writing to them, he said, look, you're behaving like mere men. The Amplified Bible says you behave like mere unchanged men. Listen to it from the Living Bible. When you are jealous of one another and divide up into quarreling groups, doesn't that prove you're still babies, wanting your own way? In fact, you're acting like people who don't belong to the Lord at all.
Mm.
Now, another way this carnality of the spiritually immature is evidenced is by the fact that they most generally won't come to church unless their favorite preacher is speaking. Look in verse 4, the very next verse. For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? And he talked to them about the same thing in the first chapter. He said, look, one says, I'm of Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. Another says, I'm of Peter. They were dividing up and rallying just around their favorite preacher. Pastor Joel told me one time he was out in the foyer, and he didn't tell me who it was. So if it was you, just relax. But he's greeting people, and somebody said, oh, Pastor Joel, who's speaking tonight? He said, I am. The person's countenance just fell. And they said, well, I really like it when Pastor Kenneth preaches. Well, I like Peter. And he's got the best stories. I mean, he walked and talked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Somebody else said, well, I like Paul. And he brings the deep stuff. Somebody else, well, I like Apollos. He's got the coolest accent, and he's so articulate. And that's what was happening in the church. In fact, Paul in the first chapter said, look, you guys are basically connoisseurs of good preaching, and you come behind in no gift. You have the gifts of the Spirit in operation. But my friend, having the gifts in operation is not a sign of maturity. The gifts operate out of desire, but maturity, that is a sign, or rather, unity is a sign of maturity. It's not being eloquent, it's not having the gifts operating. Unity is a sign of maturity. Disunity, being fragmented, is a sign of immaturity. Another common symptom of spiritual immaturity is pride. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes to Timothy, says, listen, don't put a new convert, don't put someone newly come to the faith in a position of leadership. He said, lest they fall into a temptation and become puffed up with pride, end up in the same condemnation that the devil experienced. And there's a tendency with those newly come to the faith to get puffed up in pride, especially if they're given leadership roles right away. So the scripture actually warns against it. It says, be careful about that. And I think it's even more dangerous when a person has a very charismatic personality or they're really gifted. It's important for us to remember that regardless of what we have, whatever kind of gifting, whatever kind of magnetic personality it might be, that everything ultimately has come to us because of the undeserved favor of God. We didn't work for any of it ourselves. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that one of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what did you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? For everything has come to us as a gift from God. And then another, I think, a common tendency of the immature is that they can fall into error. They are vulnerable to error. To look at or listen to these verses, Ephesians 4, verses 13 and 14. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. So the spiritual immature, that they tend to be blown about with every new wind of teaching. You know, I was in the ballpark last year watching my grandsons play Little League, and I'm sitting in the stands, and there's a dad there who's supposed to be watching his little toddler, but he's watching the older son playing the game. I guess mom went to the snack shack or something. And so dad's being a typical dad. He's kind of glued to the game, and the toddler's just crawling around in the dirt, like underneath the stands. And I watched this kid grab a handful of sunflower seed shells that somebody spit out like 3 weeks before, and a bunch of dirt, and stuff it into his mouth. And I go, hey, buddy. He goes, what? I said, your kid, he just crammed a bunch of stuff in his mouth. He said, oh, not again. He gets down there, and he's pulling all these, you know, icky sunflower seed shells and now mud out of his kid's mouth. I remember my own kids and watched all my grandkids do it when they were little. You know, they crawl along the floor, whatever they found, it went right into the laboratory, straight into their mouth. If it was a toy, they put it in their mouth. If it was a penny, they put it in their mouth. If it was a dead moth, right in their mouth. And, you know, people newly come to the faith, they're not yet established in good doctrine, and there's a tendency for them to go after everything that sounds good. Listen, you older believers, we have a responsibility to help guard the younger believers and make sure they become established in sound doctrine. But it is one of their tendencies that they'll tend to go after this and go after that. Now, on the other hand, those that are spiritually mature, obviously, they're going to be displaying the opposite of these qualities that we've been discussing. They're not envious. They rejoice when others are blessed, noticed, awarded, and advanced. In fact, others are a main concern for the mature, where with the immature, their main concern is themselves. My needs, my rights, my time, my feelings, my ministry, my place. But those that are mature in the Lord, they think of others first. The spiritually mature also, they are very hard to offend. And they are very quick to forgive. They refuse to be dragged into petty quarrels, taking sides and causing division. In fact, unity is very, very high on the agenda of people that are grown in Christ. I was talking to a friend some time ago, and I don't know if it was over the holidays. I didn't actually ask that, but he was sharing a story that the whole family, you know, the relatives, everybody's gathered together, you know, at the house for some event, and there's strife between a couple of family members. One's at one side of the house, the other's at the other side. And he said, you can just feel it in the atmosphere. And he says, okay, everybody, come on, everybody in the family room now, we are not having strife in this household. We will not have strife. Let's get this sorted out now. That's the way a mature person acts. They know the dangers of strife. They know what it can cost. And so they do all they can to maintain unity and to bring peace and to bring unity. It's a quality of those that have been with the Lord for some time. And then they come to church to give as much as they do to receive. For them, it's not about their favorite preacher. It's about Jesus and about being part of his family. They're humble. It's true. They've come to realize that any gifting, resource, or position they have is strictly due to the undeserved favor of God. And finally, they're established in the Word of God. They love it. They feed on it daily. It's become their final authority in all things. You know, I was struck recently reading through Romans or reading in the book of Galatians where Paul talks about law versus grace. And he talks about faith versus works in connection with salvation. And he does something very interesting, and he does it repeatedly. He basically brings up a problem, and then he asks a question. And the question, same question over and over again, what does the Scripture say? Talks about this law versus grace. Here's this dilemma, but what does the Scripture say? He talks about faith versus works, and there's this dilemma. But what does the Scripture say? And then he quotes Scripture. Asks, you know, this other thing, brings another scenario. But what does the Scripture say? And then he shares the Scripture. And the mature believer, that's what they do. With regardless of what comes up in their life, their first, you know, their default position is, what does the Scripture say? All right, I have a willful child. This girl has an iron will, and she's 4 years old, and she wants to rule the household. How do I correct a willful child? What does the Scripture say? How do I deal with my enemies? I've got these opponents at work that just seem to be trying to take me down. How do I deal with people that have set themselves up as my enemies? What does the Scripture say? How do I set my priorities in life? I mean, there's so many voices out there and so many things calling for my time. What does the Scripture say? How do I love my wife? How do I honor my husband? What does the Scripture say? Asked the spiritually mature. How do I express my sexuality in a way that is in concert with God's plan? What does the Scripture say? How do I manage my money? What does the Scripture say? Unlike the immature person that's ruled by their feelings, by, you know, popular opinion, by their emotions, the mature believer is ruled by the Word of God. It brings us to four things that are essential for our growth in God. All of us need these four things to grow in the Lord. And I'm making it pretty simple. This is actually an acrostic, G-R-O-W. First thing we need, G, we must be grounded. We have to have a proper foundation or a proper root system. We had lunch recently with some friends from Alaska, and their home sits right in the middle of the earthquake zone. And you know that just a few weeks ago, they had a huge earthquake up in Alaska, did a lot of damage. And their house, the only damage was cosmetic. There was no structural damage, but it has a special foundation. It was built with the thought in mind, this is in an earthquake zone. And so there's special features to the foundation. The building we're sitting at, the other buildings here on the campus. We actually were required. To sink 465 pilings down into the earth. They go 35, 40 feet down. They're reinforced with rebar. They're tied together by you know, other beams that go sideways. 465, you know, of these pillars underground before we can even pour the pads to put the buildings on. That's what the foundation. Reason? We live in an earthquake zone. We know that. Now, I personally think the buildings are way over-engineered, and I think that in part because I know what the ticket was on those pilots that had to go down into the earth. And, you know, I think every engineer wants to have a medal pinned on him when, you know, their building survives, just like the air conditioning people. That, you know, everybody's freezing, wearing winter coats in the middle of summer. Put a medal on the air conditioning guy. He's done a good job. And I don't mean to make it sound like somehow we're bigger than Mother Nature. Nature compared to man is quite large. Man is quite small. But the whole point, these buildings sit on a proper foundation. And the foundation determines how high up you can go, how broad you can build. It's all determined upon the foundation. All right, here's our foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus.
This, Pastor Peaches, can I, this,
yes,
15 more minutes of this, can I let this grow?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes, it's okay.
Okay. All right.
This is the foundation. Now, I know he is a healer. I know he is a meter of needs. I know he is a miracle worker, and thank God for those things. But if you got in because of any of those things, your relationship better grow beyond that. Those things are secondary. Jesus is primary. You read in the Gospels, multitudes followed him, and Jesus turned and looked at them. He said, you're just following because of the loaves and fishes and because your bellies were filled. Because your need was met supernaturally, that's why you're in. And you read the Gospels, all of those people fell away. So thank God if he gave you a breakthrough. Thank God if he met a need supernaturally. Thank God for answered prayers. Thank God for divine healing. But friend, if you take away all those things, give me Jesus and I'm going to be fine. He's all I need. He is the foundation. The Apostle Paul said, for I know whom I believe, and I'm confident that he's able to keep that which I have entrusted to him, that which I've committed to him against that day. Friend, I've committed to him my health, my family, my eternal future. He is the foundation. And friend, if the relationship you have with Jesus Christ is not the most important relationship in your life, take a good look at yourself. Get that right. Everything's dependent upon the foundation. Second thing, our relationships. God has designed believers like bananas. Bananas are created to grow in a bunch, not individually. And believers, God's created us to grow in a bunch, collectively. You know, community, it's one of the vital and foundational core values of our church. We need one another. We need relationships. And, you know, I know there's some people that's like, well, you know, I just sort of don't have a, you know, one home church. I just sort of go from church to church wherever the Spirit leads me. You know, the wind of the Spirit blows me into this church, and I'm there, and I worship with them for a while. And then the wind of the Spirit blows me over here, and I'm just free, 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 not tied down anywhere. Yeah, the wolves have a word for that kind of a sheep. It's called lunch. We need the security and the accountability and the growth that being planted in a local church provides. Friend, the church, the local church, that's God's idea. That's God's plan. Listen to these verses, Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, and according to the New Testament, the house of the Lord is the local church. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Those that are planted. You know, they found a 2,000-year-old date seed at Masada in Israel. 2,000 years old, this dried-up seed. They planted it, and it grew a towering date palm and produced dates. 2,000 years, it was fruitless. But once it was planted, and some people, that's all they need. They just need to get planted, get committed in relationships, get committed, you know, to a local house. Those that are planted, 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 they're putting roots down in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. They will be fruitful. We need relationships. And an O stands for obstacles. You need obstacles. You need resistance if you're going to grow. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You know, my best friend, since kindergarten, we met in kindergarten. We're still friends to this day. I drop by and see him every once in a while. Sent him a text, I think, day before yesterday. We still are in close communication. And I remember when we were little boys, his parents decided he was going to be a swimmer. And so 5 days a week, he had to go to swim lessons. Remember, he went to Greta Anderson Swim School, and I just thought, what a torturous existence for a little kid. And I'd actually go sit over there on the benches and wait for him to finish swimming so we could go goof around. Sometimes I'd ride my bike over and just wait for him to finish. But you know, I noticed something after he'd been swimming for a while. I still had skinny little arms and skinny little legs, and all of a sudden, his muscles started getting big on his arms and on his legs. And I looked at him from the waist up, and he started developing this V shape of a body. I thought, what the heck? Well, it was from all that resistance, the opposition of the water. It caused his muscles to grow. My Uncle Mike was a track runner. He's my only living uncle, my dad's youngest brother. He ran at Florida State, and he used to practice all the time with the track team, and on his own, he would just run. And he told me one time, he said, you know, whenever we'd come to the hills, I never looked at it as some obstacle to be loathed. He said, I looked at it as an opportunity to grow. He said, when I came to the hills, he said, I would run flat out up every single hill and just cruise down the other side. The rest of the guys, they sort of took it easy up the hills, but I ran flat out up the hills. Well, my Uncle Mike in 1958 ran a 4-minute, 5-second mile. He held the Florida State record for 16 years, was never beat by anyone running the mile. But he looked at those obstacles as an opportunity for growth. You think about the church in the book of Acts. When the church was persecuted, she grew. And one of the things about opposition, it will reveal in a hurry what we are trusting in. And if we are trusting in God, we'll find out very soon that he is more than enough. He is all that we need. I spoke to a young man after service last night, and he was pretty emotional, going through a really rough patch. He had been in this sort of great spiritual high, been in a great season of momentum and progress, and kind of hit the wall. And he shared some of the things going on, pretty serious things, and he actually started to cry. And I told him what I'd like to tell you right now. I said, if you will hold steady during the rough times, during the times when you're feeling the most opposition, if you'll do the things you know to do, stay in the Word, stay on your knees, keep coming to church, you will do more growing during those seasons than any other time in your life spiritually. Anybody can shout hallelujah when the sun is shining, you know, and the wind is at your back. But it's when you're facing into a stiff headwind and it seems like all hell has been turned loose against you. If you'll stay steady then, friends, some things will be worked in you that will be absolutely necessary for your future and for the future of others that God's going to use you to help. Some of you here today, I know. Some of you listening, I know you're facing great opposition right now. God's going to grow you during this time. Thank God sometimes he plucks us out of the trouble, but many times he strengthens us and takes us through the trouble. The fact is, he'll never leave us, and he will never forsake us. All right, finally, W stands for the Word. 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. I had the privilege to do some traveling with an individual who's been in heaven for many, many years now. He did quite a bit of missions work around the world, actually, back in the 1930s. Spent time in China, established some churches in China as well as other regions of the world. And he and I were out to lunch one day. I took him out for Chinese food. And I think what precipitated the conversation was the fact that he asked me to order two noodle dishes, and I like spicy food. I just assumed, okay, you're a missionary in China, you like spicy food. He didn't. So I ended up eating his spicy noodles and my spicy noodles. I had two lunches. He didn't have any. And he said, Bayless, you know, the Chinese that live in northern China, he said, on average, they are 2 inches taller than the Chinese that live in southern China. I said, what? He said, yep. He said, the reason is their diet. In northern China, their main staple is wheat, and they make noodles, and that's what they eat. In southern China, the main staple is rice. There's more protein in the wheat than there is in the rice. Consequently, the average height of the person in northern China, 2 inches taller. Now, I kind of said, okay, but I researched it later. I found quite a few articles that actually confirm just what he said. And when it comes to the spiritual growth or lack thereof in a Christian's life, the main factor is diet. Do they feed on the Word of God?
Mm.
Do they meditate on the Word of God?
Yeah.
Now, if you've been at Cottonwood since we started the church 35 years ago, you've heard me say it. Heard me say it many, many times. I'm going to say it again right now. You need to have a love affair with your Bible. If Jesus tarries, and I'm still going strong another 35 years from now, at about 100, I'm still going to be saying it. You get into the Word, and the Word will get into you. Friend, this is your light in the darkness. This is your spiritual food. This is your strength during difficult times. It is God-breathed. It is filled with life. Read your Word. Spend time. If you don't have a Bible, get yourself a Bible. Start reading it. Start feeding on it. Start thinking about it. Ponder the stories of Jesus. Ponder the Scriptures. It will change your life. There's no growth without it, any more than you can grow physically if you don't eat physical food. You cannot grow spiritually if you don't feed on the Word. Desire the pure milk of God's Word that you may grow thereby.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was Bayless Conway. Awesome, man. Did y'all enjoy that?
Oh,
yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. That was good word. Good word.
Say his name again.
His name is Bayless Conway.
Okay.
Conway.
Thank you.
C-O-N-W-E-Y. Conway. Praise God.
What you eat.
Huh?
I said, you are what you eat.
That's right. Amen. I'm going to leave that alone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. All minds are clear. Thank y'all for, we went a little bit over today, but I wanted y'all to hear that message. I thought it was a great message. Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for what our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that's unfolding and revealing itself to us. We thank you for your word, O God. We understand that life is an open book test, Lord, and we understand that love is the subject of life. And so we praise your name for this opportunity that you've given to us. And we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. And we bless your name in Jesus' name. And the entire school said,
amen.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Pastor Peters, again, thank you so much for allowing us to kind of take a few minutes out of your class. I appreciate that. We took 6 minutes of your time, and we took all of your all of the break time. Class, thank you for allowing me to. I should have asked all of y'all if it was all right if I use up your break time. I didn't ask you. Excuse my dust.
It was worth it. Amen.
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 Pastor Peaches, the floor is yours. It's, I think, 7:56 now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whew. Are there any questions or anything left over? Do y'all need to address to ask Dr. Bird before we go on? Okay. Let me call and see if anybody came on. There was did Brother Adrian Scott join us? Or did Angie join us? Everybody else still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hallelujah.
All right. Vocabulary development. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
It's amazing that we are, the more word we get in us, the more, I guess, that goes along with the maturity. You know, we have to get the word of God down in us and ask God to help us to operate in this word and walk in the word, you know. And we have vocabulary development to help us out, and we have resources to find out what the word of God says and where to find the word. Okay. And I have some questions tonight. Y'all at any time need me to speak up or anything, just say, hey, can't hear you. My first question, is the word church found in the Bible?
Could you spell it?
What we are using is the Strong Concordance. And my first question tonight is the word church, C-H-U-R-C-H, found in the Bible.
Yes.
I hear a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Is it in the Old or New Testament? Now, say that again.
Oh, this is Cynthia.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Hey, Cynthia. Help us out. Where is it?
I don't know where it lives at, but I know it's in there.
Okay. Can you give me the scripture? Because we can find it. Okay. If it's in the Old Testament.
Yes.
So let's look up the word church, y'all. We're in the concordance. The first person that finds the word church in the concordance, yell out the page. Okay? We're all working together. I will not answer any questions to embarrass anybody or whatever. We all learning together, and we are all learning week after week how to use the Strong Concordance. If you know and you're an expert, that's great. Then you can help out the whole class, whoever that is. A lot of people are not familiar with the Strong Concordance and all, but when you find the word church, C-H-U-R-C-H, yell out the page number. we going to see if it's in the Old or New Testament or where it is in the Bible. One way to find out also where scripture is, sometimes you may only know a phrase in of a verse. When you have a strong concordance, you can look up a phrase or one word that's in the phrase, and that will help you. So we're going to look up church. C-H.
Okay. The word church is on page 175. Sister QB.
Okay. 175. All right, everybody find it?
Yes.
We all together, page 175, everybody? Page 175. Okay, and we know when we're looking for Old Testament word, which one is which one? What letter will be in front of the Old Testament word? The G or the H?
G.
It will be G. Cynthia, Cindy.
Okay. Okay, have we found one in the Old Testament yet? The G stands for what word, y'all? We have the Greek and the Hebrew.
Here's for the Greek, Sister QB.
Okay, has anybody found any scriptures with the H in front of it? Okay, so we know the word church is in the scriptures, but
yes,
it is in the
Greek.
Okay, and so therefore it is in what part of the Bible?
Old.
Look at the abbreviations of the chapters in front of the scriptures.
Oh.
Underneath church, the abbreviation.
Oh, Matthew.
Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. So therefore, it is in what part of the Bible? The New Testament.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you were asking. Oh, yes.
Okay. Sorry if I'm not making my myself clear, y'all. Say, what you mean?
I missed it. I'm sorry.
So therefore, church is in the word. Church is in the scriptures. And
yes,
since G is in front of all of these, then the word church is found in the Old, is in the New Testament, not the Old. In the New Testament.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna give y'all another. I'm gonna give y'all a scripture. I'm gonna read a phrase, and I want y'all to find it. Okay. And sometimes you may know of a scripture. You say, "Oh, where is it? Where is it?" And you only know one line in that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
This happened to me plenty of times. And you're working your brain. Oh my gosh, where is it? Okay. This is a phrase. Be dumb and not able to speak. How would you find that scripture? Be dumb.
Are we still talking about under church?
No, that was one thing.
Oh.
Y'all, we answered that one.
Okay,
okay,
this
is
something new.
Else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I said that church is only in the New Testament.
Right.
See, all of the G's in front, there was the Greek.
Yes.
So all of these scriptures were in the New Testament.
Right.
Okay, so we know that church is not in the Old Testament. The word church is not in the Old Testament.
No.
The scriptures for church is in the New Testament. Okay, we're going to something else. Okay. The sentence, or part of the scripture, is be dumb and not able to speak. How will we find out where that scripture is in the Bible? Have y'all ever wrecked your brain trying to find a scripture?
Yes.
And it's right on the tip of your tongue?
Yes.
Okay. If you only know like a few words of that scripture, you can look up one of the words. You can look at one of the words, and you're in a strong concordance. And a lot, you know, when you get a Bible, it's only a couple pages of a concordance in the back of it, if the Bible has concordance. But in the strong concordance, you'll find it all. So therefore, this is the phrase, be dumb and not able to speak. So we're going to find that scripture. Okay? Let's look up. Yeah.
You can look up dumb, couldn't you?
Yes. Oh, very good. Very good. D-U-M-B. And let's do that. We're going to look up dumb.
I'm dumb right now. Dumb.
No, we all learn together. Don't ever call yourself that.
I'm feeling kind of. That's how I'm feeling, kind of dumb right now.
This
yes.
Is like towards the
end of the day. It is. It tells you.
Sometimes towards the end of the day, you can move kind of slow. But
it's like the glasses got to be working. The glasses got to be working, too. On page 290 is the word dumb.
All
and so
right,
we're looking for the sentence that says, be.
Say that again?
Okay, the sentence that you said, be something about dumb.
Be dumb and not able to speak.
So we're looking for that sentence.
Yes.
Very interesting. And same thing again.
Okay, wait a minute.
I said be dumb upon the face of the earth and not be able to speak is what you said, right?
Yes. I read that earlier. Okay.
I thought
I read that even copied it down. But, and I thought I saw it in Luke 1:20. Luke 20 says, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not.
Luke 20, 1 and 20 says, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not.
Uh-huh.
Is that what
you
mean? Oh.
Yes, that's the one.
So abbreviated. Yeah, but sort of abbreviated, too, not quite all that you said. But I see where it is, though. Oh, okay. That sounds good. That's a method we can use if we can't get all the sentences and we get a word of it. Look up that one word, and it will give you exactly where it's found in the Bible. I didn't know that before.
It's having you, like, wrecking your brain trying to find out, where is the scripture? Where is the scripture? And now that we have the Strong Concordance, you can look up one word in whatever part of a scripture that you remember.
Okay.
And look that word up, and you'll find out where the scripture is.
That's another help mechanism.
Okay, this time we're going to look up, right at Luke 1:20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not, wait a minute, 1:20.
Let's look 23.
All right. 46:23. All right. You said 46:23, right?
Yes. That was at the end of...
Yes. Okay. It's on page
1668.
Involuntary stillness or inability... to speak. Oh. It's properly muted, involuntary stillness, or inability to speak, and thus different, differing from.
Yes.
At the very bottom on the right hand side.
46:23. And also, y'all remember, if you have to use, when you're writing a paper, you can find your synonyms also in your definition. So you don't have to use the same word over and over and over again. You're able to use synonyms in that paragraph or when you're talking or when you're speaking instead of using that one word.
Yes. It says silence or hush.
Or inability to speak, and thus differing from D4602, which is rather voluntary refusal or indisposition to speak. Although the terms are often used synonymously to be dumb, be not deaf also. Like G2974, properly, figuratively to be calm or quiet water, dumb. Or hold the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, just like you talking to somebody and they are answering, say, are you dumb or something?
Uh-huh.
Like, can't you speak? You just standing there and you aren't saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times when people use the term dumb, they aren't talking about not being able to speak. They're talking about something else.
Be a refusal to speak.
And a lot of times these days when people use the word dumb, it's a negative. And
right.
Okay. Is there a scripture that any of y'all cannot find and wonder where it is? Let's look it up together. You still with us, Brother Harry and...
Yes.
And AJ? I know AJ's been sick.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, so she's listening, but she hasn't been well. Is there anybody... is there, even if you want to know, if you want to know where a scripture is and you cannot remember the whole scripture, but mm-hmm. it's just been nagging at you and it's just a part of a scripture, and if you want to just give us one line of that scripture, we're all going to look it up.
Yeah,
it's close for anybody.
In God, I will put my trust.
Okay. So we want to know
Cynthia.
Where the scripture is. In God, I will put my trust.
Yeah. It's Cynthia.
Uh-huh. I'm writing it down. In God, I will put my trust. Okay. Let's find out where this scripture is. Let's look. I'm going to look up the word. Okay. Y'all can look up whatever word y'all want. I'm going to look up the word trust. If you can look up more than one different word, you'll come up with the same place. You'll come out in the same hole. But I'm going to look up the word trust. T-R. I've often told children, look, in the evening sometimes turn off the Game Boy and the Sega, not the Sega Genesis, that was in my day, and your whatever the other games that you're playing, I said, and sometimes open up a book. You know, this is something we can do in the evening. Okay? I found the word trust on page 1202, the word trust. Now, let's see if we can find any. God, I put my trust. There's one that says, and put your trust in the Lord, but let all those that put their trust in thee, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. All those are in Psalms, Psalms 4, 5, 7. When you find it like this, you just have to go down each one and see which one is the one that you're looking for.
Yes.
Psalms 11, 1 says, in the Lord put I my trust.
Okay, it's Psalms 11, 18 and 11. What is it, 11? Psalms 11.
Mm-hmm.
In God I have put my trust.
It's
Psalms 18. Is that the one? Is it 18
or 11? No, it's not 18 or 11.
But it has 11 beside it. So I guess it's chapter 56 or 11?
All the books are right underneath of the word, coming down, and then the margin underneath of the word. And then all
yeah,
the chapters that it's in, it's right in front of the line.
Right. It's Psalms, but it's Psalms, what was it, 56 and 11. Am I reading
Psalm
it right?
56, mm-hmm. Psalm, very good. Psalm 56, 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be. Is that what you're reading?
Right. Yes.
Yes. And at the end is H982.
Yes.
Is that the one, Cynthia?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Let's see it all the way through. You said Psalm 56:11, Kiwi. And,
yes.
Okay. Let's go. Let's find 8982. Turn to the Hebrew section. Page 1475. middle column.
$14.75.
Yeah, in the middle column. Be sure, be confident, be secure, be sure. Careless one, careless woman, be confident. Hope, make you hope. Trust, put trust, make you trust.
It was $9.80.
Mm-hmm. On page 1475.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Everybody got it?
The primitive root.
Uh-huh.
Properly. For refuge.
Mm-hmm.
Not so precipitately. Figuratively to trust. Be confident or sure. Be bold, be confident, be secure, be sure, careless, careless one, careless woman. Put confidence, hope, make to hope. Trust, put trust, make to trust.
Very good. Very good. Okay.
Wow.
Let's
get it. I want to tap a lollipop.
Is this helping any how to use the Strong's Concordance?
Yes. Because I'm seeing, like you said, if you got part of a Bible verse and you don't know where it's found, just
uh-huh.
look up one of the words,
yep.
and then you can get it in two different places, three places, really.
Really, and you can find, once you find out pick out one word out of it, and you just look up that word, and just keep on reading down until you find the part of the scripture. You said, that's what I was thinking of. And it'll tell you, and you're looking at left margin, it'll tell you right where that scripture is.
And plus it'll give you a synonym, too, as well, like you said.
Exactly.
So you don't have to, if you're writing something, you don't have to beat the word up by using the same thing over and over again.
Yes. Okay, my next question is, y'all, what page does the appendix start on? The appendix is one of the sections in your Strong's Concordance.
Yes,
what
it is.
Page does the appendix start on? What did they say, Elder?
The appendix in the front of the back. No, table of contents is in the front.
Look, you see them black lines? When you have your book open, you see them black lines? You see the long strip of black lines? on the edges of your pages? Lift up one of them black lines. You know,
what black
lines? Your pages.
Yeah.
Okay. You know the black lines in the back is the Greek. Those little short black lines in front of that one is the Hebrew.
Yes.
Pick up the next set of black lines.
Appendix. Okay.
Very good. What page does the appendix start on?
Looks like, that's not it. Oh, okay. It's right there. I guess it starts on 1333.
Very good.
I thought it was to the back. I just didn't need the cover page. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So when you have a few minutes, even during the daytime, get acquainted with your appendix. And it says, see, appendix of pronouns, prepositions, common words, et cetera.
Get acquainted with
your appendix, y'all. Get acquainted with the appendix of the Strong's Concordance. I have one last question.
Okay.
No, two really. I hope I get to the last one. On what map do you see the beautiful gate? You have map in the back of your strong concordance.
Yes.
Look on your map. It's on
uh-huh.
your feet. Look on your map. Turn to each one and just skim through them. You're looking all over. Which one do you find the beautiful gate?
Is it written in English?
Yes, and tell me the name of the map. When you find it, tell me the name of the map.
You see it before I do. A beautiful thing. Is it a large print?
Yes, I'm gonna make it easier. Look, turn to the last page of your, it's within the last two pages of your book.
I see two beautiful gates. I see Fish Gate. You want a beautiful gate.
The beautiful gate.
I see East Gate. Teeth Gate, Fish Gate, East Gate, Water Gate.
It's on the second from the last page, y'all. The last page has the front and the back. Has anybody found it?
Come on, y'all. Where the rest of y'all at?
What's the name of... Okay. Pick up the last page of the...
I see Beautiful Gate. Yes, I see Beautiful Gate. It's like a cross almost.
Yes, yes. What is that way? Okay. What?
Solomon something. Perfect, whatever.
Okay.
What of you? What of
you? What's the name of... What's the name of the map? What is this a map of?
Jerusalem in the Second Temple period.
Yes. Very good. Now, very good. So when y'all are reading the scriptures and the scriptures talks about different rivers and different areas, you can and say just like it's talking about this person's journey from one area to another. Try and find those places that they journeyed from on your map.
Oh, okay.
And then there is a on your map to let you know just how far they walked, just how far or what.
Wow.
To depict the little key in the upper left hand corner, and look at the key, and then find that symbol, and you'll find a lot about that area. Okay.
Is this
if there's
the walking
a screen there, if there's a conduit there, if there's a wall there.
Okay. Question: is this when the Israelites were walking all that time, or just anyone walking? Because they wandered for like 40 years in the desert.
Yes, to find out when find out where this is in the scripture.
Uh huh.
You can look up beautiful gate. In one of the scriptures, there was a blind man sitting at the they call it the
beautiful gate. That's right, right. Waiting for the water to be troubled.
So therefore, you can look up the scripture and say, oh, okay, this is what all was surrounding where he was, and then this and that. My last question was, how many different meanings is there of this word, of the word beautiful? And I just want y'all to write this down. We're out of time. I want y'all to write this down.
Read along for 6 minutes.
The word beautiful, okay, in Genesis 29:17, it's one meaning. Psalm 48:2 is another meaning. Ecclesiastes 3:11 is another meaning, and Acts 3:2 is another meaning.
Acts 2?
Yes, Acts 3:2. See, when you're looking up words and all, sometimes you have to look up the word in that scripture, and then sometimes you may even have to cross reference it to see find out the real meaning of that word.
Okay.
Because we know beautiful is the way someone may look. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But also now we know that there's a gate called beautiful.
Yes.
I do not believe that the gate was called beautiful because of its appearance. But
okay. We'll
get the understanding of the gate called beautiful or whatever when we read the scripture. And then don't just read the verse, but read the verse above it and the verse beneath it. And then you may even have to go to your Strong's Concordance and look up the other, in this meaning, you know, what are they talking about? Find out what other scriptures they're talking about the same word. And you may even have to, go look into the back, look into the Greek and find out, wherever that word is in the Bible, in your Strong's, if it's G or A, Hebrew or Greek, then continue to write. And don't just look it up and try and hold it in your mind. Write it down. There may be too many things you're trying to hold in your head. Then write it down. And say, okay, well, in this scripture, it's talking about the appearance of somebody. Okay, well, in this scripture, it's talking about the name of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I have not confused anybody. Any questions?
But Sister Peaches, I was thinking, at least when you know where the map is and you're reading the Word of God, you can go back there and it brings it more to life because you can understand the distance,
what else
is surrounding it.
Uh-huh.
And it makes more sense than you just reading the word and just going through it. But when you can actually chart it almost on the map, it just makes more sense to you. It comes alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I was thinking when we was looking at it. It because I'm a person that when I'm reading, I form pictures in my head.
Yeah.
So therefore, when you know what the surrounding area looks like and you know, gate beautiful, and you see on your map, it's telling you what else is surrounding. You can almost form a picture in your head. And I would say, okay, they was walking in there, and he was sitting right here. Oh, okay. I know that's how my mind works.
It gives you
a picture and helps you to understand the Word of God even more.
Right.
And you know what else is going on, what else is in that area where they were or where this man was and stuff like that. When you find out what the area was, what else was in the area, where the disciples were coming from or going before they went into the temple or before they, you know, talked to the man.
Yeah. It almost feels like you're inside their head. You can see and feel the things that they did, and it makes more sense to you that they were really human, not just a story.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I like that.
Yes. All
at the time was very challenging in the beginning. Yes. At the time it was very challenging in the beginning, but now I'm beginning to see the dots being connected and it makes sense and it can just give more fruit to your learnings of the Word of God. So it's more than just words.
Yeah. And the more you can explain it to somebody else.
Exactly. I can sound smart every now and then.
Oh, my God.
Praise the Lord.
And the more we understand the word, the more it'll come alive to us, the more we can make it come alive to somebody else, we'll even be able to explain it to the children anymore.
Exactly.
Put things in such a way that they can, you know, form a picture and see just what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the more excited you get about the word, it's transferable.
Yeah.
Amen. Pastor Peaches, you have 2 minutes left. We tacked on the 6 minutes that we used up.
Oh, really? Praise the Lord. Any more questions?
Yes. Will any of this be on the final?
No, this will not. But it behooves us to to know about this, the Strong's Concordance. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Can all we get and get all we can.
Yes.
There are some. Oh, may I interject, Pastor Peter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There may be a couple of questions or so about you having to use the Strong's Concordance. But again,
yes,
you have 4 weeks to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, getting together, either on the phone or together, it's okay to help you go through this. And of course, Pastor Peters has office hours. What's your office hours, Pastor Peters?
2 to 4.
I know it's in the syllabus for her class. Her office hour. So
my students are so small; they only get nobody needs them. Nobody can take advantage of them.
Yeah, they are.
You so lonely. I just have to call you then.
May I share something else? Y'all will feel more comfortable and more confident in opening your Bible now.
Yes.
Because you're getting tools to help to navigate through the Word of God. And I thank y'all for being so, having a coachable, teachable spirit, because all of us had to deal with that, including me. And so we all are learning as we go. And Pastor Peaches, you did such a fantastic job. This is the last class for vocabulary development. Let's give Pastor Peaches a hand. Hey.
Sister Peaches, you know, it makes me feel like the word says, study to show yourself approved. And the more excited you get about it, the more nuggets of learning you get, helps put a better picture together so that you feel more qualified to represent Christ, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all good. I'm excited.
It is. And we'll never know it all. We're just learning. And so many resources, and even after class is over, the Strong's Concordance is something you can use for the rest of your life. As long as you got the Bible, you can use the Strong's Concordance.
Well, when you fall in love with the Word of God, it's necessary, you know?
And then you have all these other resources that were provided, the King James Version Bible, the Message Bible, and the Amplified.
Mm-hmm.
And to those who are going further in the next semester, which will start in February, we're going to blow your mind, because you're going to get the Scofield Study Bible Classic as part of you. You're going to have that in your library.
You're going to tell us.
So that's going to be awesome. But anyway, we're building a library for people who are not novice, people who are growing towards spiritual maturity, and they're not just playing games. They're just not going to churches in them. They are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But anyway, thank you, Pastor Peters, for allowing me to share. It's back into your hands.
You're welcome, Pastor. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for what our ears have heard, what our hearts have felt. We thank you, Father God, for all the resources you have given us, Father God, to learn your word even the more. We thank you, Father God, for the hunger and thirst that we have down in our hearts, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for filling our cup until it overflows. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, just for finding, for just us putting things aside and just getting in your word and looking and learning the books and the resources and all that's been given to us. Thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be able to articulate what we're learning in class to someone, Lord God, so that they will learn more of you and the word will draw them unto you. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and worship you. Lord God, we ask you to bless the students tonight, Lord God. Heal the bodies, In the name of Jesus, Satan, we bind the hand of the enemy. Upset the plan of Satan in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of sickness and cold and flu and germs in the name of Jesus. We just speak healing and health and wholeness, Lord God, to everyone on this line in the name of Jesus, especially AJ, Father God. Touch up on the crown of head to the soles of our feet in the name of Jesus. Father God, you said any two touch and agree anything, Lord God, you would do it. Lord God, there's more than two of us on this line. Anybody else, Lord God, is not healing 100%. Touch their body. Hallelujah. Allow them to have sweet sleep tonight in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and we worship you, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the instructions. Continue to strengthen their body. Lead and guide and continue to crown their heads with wisdom, Father, of your word, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for this blessed holiday week. And we just thank you, Lord God, for everything, Lord God. In
everything.
The name of Jesus, we are thankful, Lord, for everything you've done for us, everything you're doing for us, everything you're going to do. Lord God, bless your people. We thank you, Lord God, for overflow.
Hallelujah, overflow.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, for overflow.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We bless your name, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, everyone. God bless you. I hope you all enjoy the turkeys. We thank God for allowing us to sow them into your lives.
Thank you. Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's anyone that doesn't have all that they need or want or whatever, give us a call. Don't be needing and not saying anything.
Right.
Okay?
Don't have a need. Don't share it. Okay. Gotcha.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I said don't have a need and not share it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're family.
Right.
Maybe the answer to somebody's prayer, you know.
If I got a whole loaf of bread, somebody needs some bread.
You got half of it.
You can have half the loaf.
That's it.
Oh,
I love it.
God bless
Thank
y'all.
You. God bless
love,
you.
God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it.
Amen to that.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.